I certainly hope to see you this Thursday evening at 6:30. It's the first of our brand new Film Week film series, Film Week and Chill, where I'm picking on a regular basis some movies to just sit back, relax, and enjoy on your own. Once you've watched the film, then join us for our live conversation. And first up this Thursday, the Disney Pixar classic, The Incredibles. I think it should have won the Oscar for the best film of 2004 instead of just best animated feature. A great film. Will be joined by the director, Brad Bird, the composer of the film score, Michael Giacchino, and our Film Week critics, Claudia Puig and animation authority, Charles Solomon. They'll be with us on this virtual event. It's free, and we look forward to talking about one of my favorite films, The Incredibles. You just need to register so you get the link to the event Thursday at 6:30. Visit kpecc.org/in-person, and you can RSVP to our Film Week and Chill inaugural conversation on The Incredibles. And regularly, every few weeks, we'll have another film bringing together experts and our Film Week critics to talk about them in a virtual environment. Right now, we talk about the very scary experience Saturday in the skies over Denver. Federal regulators are calling for stepped-up inspections of all Boeing 777s equipped with the type of engine that suffered the catastrophic failure over Denver. It was Flight 328 United Airlines from Denver to Honolulu. Fortunately, it had not reached flying over the open ocean, but instead it was over suburban Denver when the right engine, the cowling, blew apart. The debris rained down on that neighborhood outside Denver, and the passengers had terrifying several minutes where they watched that engine burning before the pilot was able to bring the plane back to Denver International Airport. With us to talk about concerns over this Pratt & Whitney PW4000 engine that is now being grounded on these Boeing 777 jets is David Shepherdson, reporter covering transportation and aviation for Reuters. David, this, of course, yet another problem for Boeing, which was arguably the most esteemed aircraft company in the world, but now with another hit to its reputation.
Well, you're right. It's been a pretty rough couple of years for Boeing ever since the two fatal 737 MAX crashes that led to the plane's worldwide grounding for 20 months, starting in March 2019. And then, of course, the company has been hit by the tremendous impact of the COVID-19 travel declines, with airlines not wanting to take delivery of new planes. The company has had to cut thousands of workers and, you know, shrink office space and cut costs. So it has faced a really rough period. And I think a couple of things that people may have not paid attention to over the holidays is, one, the Justice Department, you know, resolved a criminal investigation into the 737 MAX certification. The company agreed to a $2.5 billion settlement, most of that money going to airlines and families of the people killed, money that Boeing would probably have had to pay out anyway, and about a $250 million criminal fine as well. And the second thing is that Congress, after almost 2 years of hearings, passed a pretty significant bill to reform how the FAA certifies new airplanes, and specifically required an outside independent review of Boeing's safety culture. So I do think you're going to see, as time goes on, you know, more scrutiny about the company's safety culture. Has it changed? And I think the supporters of Boeing would say, unlike the MAX, where the company did not endorse grounding the plane immediately, last night Boeing was out with a pretty quick statement saying it had recommended that airlines stop flying the 777s with the PW4000 series engines until the FAA actually issued its AD. So certainly a different posture than Boeing had been after the MAX.
Boeing reporting there's 69 of those Pratt & Whitney 4,112 engines that are in service. 59 of them are in storage. What do we know at this point, David, about how that engine broke apart?
So we don't know a lot. We do have the video you mentioned, and we do have the initial report from the NTSB that says there were two fractured fan blades. And we also have, we know that there was a similar incident back in February 2018 of another United 777 that was over the ocean close to Honolulu. Once again, lost an engine, was able to land safely. And in that case, the FAA, issued a directive requiring stepped-up inspections of the fan blades. And I think, of course, given that the NTSB has identified these two fractured fan blades in its initial findings, I mean, that's clearly the initial focus, right? You know, when were these fan blades inspected last? You know, did something fail to identify it? And as what the FAA is doing now is speeding up that interval between inspections. Is there something about those fan blades that would suggest they need to be inspected, you know, more quickly than they have in the past? So we don't know a lot, but also they're going to want to know, you know, why did the cowling come off the other parts? You know, did the engine function as it was expected once those fan blades fractured?
David Shepardson of Reuters with us. Alan Levin covers aviation safety for Bloomberg News. Alan, thank you for joining us. If fatigue is one of the factors in the fan blades, because my understanding is that these engines can be up to 25 years old. I know that they are constantly rehabbed, but is that something that's difficult to test for metal fatigue?
Well, yes and no. The issue in the 2018 event that Dave just mentioned was that a crack grew in these are enormous fan blades, by the way, and they're made of hollow titanium structure. And there was a tiny crack that grew over time. That's known as a fatigue crack because it gets a little bit bigger with each time the metal is stressed. And it is not visible from the surface. So the normal maintenance inspections that look at the exterior of the blades would not detect it. But there is technology such as ultrasound that can detect internal flaws in the metal. So if it's done properly, it should be able you should be able to find it, no problem. Now, as a footnote, though, what the NTSB found after that 2018 event is that an inspector at Pratt & Whitney, which manufactured the engine, had actually seen the flaw, but thought it was a fleck of paint and not an internal flaw, and so sent the fan blade back out into service. So, there's definitely a question about how well these inspections are performed.
Alan, had the flight made its way over the Pacific on its way to Honolulu and had been over the open ocean, what would the risk have been there? How quickly could a jet like that find a place to safely land had this happened, a few hours later?
So that's a very open question. And I think it's fair to say it's one of the reasons that regulators took such a swift action here. Now, planes like the 777 with two engines are designed to be flown for hours on a single engine if there's a failure. They fly over open ocean areas in the Pacific and Atlantic that are, thousands of miles away from land. But that whole safety setup is predicated on the engine staying in one piece and therefore being smooth aerodynamically. In this particular case, as you can see from those dramatic pictures, it's the aerodynamic cover came off. So it's kind of acting like a windsock out there, creating a lot more drag that may have prevented them from, it would burn more fuel on the single remaining engine. They may not have been able to stay at more efficient higher altitudes. And so it is a pretty significant underlying question here as to whether, if it were, you know, midway between the Pacific, or I'm sorry, the California coast and Hawaii, whether it could have made it to land.
We'll continue our conversation with Bloomberg News's Alan Levin. He covers aviation safety. And David Shepardson of Reuters covers transportation and aviation. If you have questions for them about the frightening event, not just for the passengers on the United Airlines Flight 328 jet, in which the right engine blew out, but also those on the ground who had the debris raining down. Fortunately, no one was injured, but it could have been devastating given the size of those pieces. Any questions you got? 866-893-KPECC. Back in 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We're talking about the terrifying experience of passengers and people on the ground with the United Flight 328 out of Denver International, headed to Honolulu when the right engine came apart, the cowling on the outside. It appeared that a couple of the fan blades broken inside of that housing, and the engine caught fire as well. And David Shepardson of Reuters wanted to ask you about that fire. In a case like that where you've got flames that are burning, what causes that to burn out? Is there any sort of ability of the pilot to stop the fuel from getting there? Or what happens in a case like that to keep it from just continuing to burn?
You know, that's a good question on that, and maybe Alan knows the answer as to that engine. I suspect that there'd be some sort of fuel cutoff, but I don't believe it requires the pilot to.
It's just automatic, yeah. Because it seemed like it was burning for quite a while. Alan Levin of Bloomberg, and I was just wondering why that would be.
Well, I'm told so all jet engines have very sophisticated fire extinguishers built into them. But the problem is when the exterior is blown apart like this, they essentially work by snuffing out the fire. But because the exterior is open like that, air can get in, and so they don't work very well. But it is important to note that fuel is automatically shut off to the engine, not automatically, but the pilots can do that very quickly from the cockpit. And I think it's notable that as scary as that fire looked, it did not appear to damage the wing or anything like that. And so, you know, it was probably just residual fuel or hydraulic fluid that was left in the engine.
You know, there's the old expression you'd sometimes hear from pilots, if it ain't Boeing, I'm not going. And we've had Boeing over these past several years take a huge hit to its reputation. Alan, how does Boeing stack up compared to its now, you know, very limited number of competitors?
You know, that's a really interesting question. If you look at the accident statistics, the safety rating or the accident rate on Boeing aircraft is almost identical to the equivalent models on Airbus, which is their main competitor now. They have very different philosophies about how to protect the planes, but it ends up that they're very close to the same. And I would note that in spite of these dramatic pictures we saw and whatnot, we are in this enormously improved safety environment. You know, there's been one passenger fatality on a U.S. carrier in over a decade, just one single death of a U.S. Passenger, which is really remarkable.
It's astonishing.
The tens of billions of people who've flown in that period.
Yeah, it is absolutely remarkable. Rosalind in Alhambra says it's important to give kudos to the pilot of that plane, in the flight crew who handled that so well. And that's something, David Shepherdson, we heard from the passengers, that everybody I saw interviewed gave very high marks to the flight attendants and to the cabin crew for how they handled this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you listen to the recording of the discussion in the ATC and the pilots, you know, incredibly professional. These were two veteran, you know, both the pilot and the first officer, veteran pilots with, you know, a lot of experience flying the 777. And, you know, making the argument, what a lot of folks make, why you want experienced pilots in the cockpit, even though, you know, the vast majority of the time, the plane is either on autopilot or can be flown on autopilot. But again, for a situation like this, you can see the impact of highly trained controllers and pilots, and, you know, who are able to make decisions quickly. And, you know, like in so many air disasters, right, you know, averting a disaster requires pilots to make the correct decision quickly.
Yeah, so true. David Shepherdson of Reuters, thank you, sir. Alan Levin of Bloomberg News, both of them reporters who for many years have been covering aviation and transportation and aviation safety. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. A reminder, 3 this afternoon, President Biden speaks on the 500,000 American lives that in total will reach that threshold soon, lost to COVID.